It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, Giants and Steelers coming your way on Sunday from MetLife Stadium. I am here in the Timex Performance Center, and I'm looking across from me, and I see an empty chair. What's going on? Something tells me Lance Meadow is like floating in a shallow pool of water with like water wings on, trying to stay afloat somewhere in Coney Island. Is that true?
Yes, I am trying to stay afloat, but doing it successfully, and I'm glad that I'm able to join you this morning, and I hope everyone who is affected by the storm, who's a Giants fan and listens to our program, is doing well. Obviously, getting to travel around the New York metropolitan area, not very easy in this day and age, so we're trying to get through it, but hopefully we keep everybody a little bit entertained this morning. As you mentioned, the Giants get set to go against the Steelers, and football is going to continue regardless of what Mother Nature has done to this area so far in the last few days.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the fans out there, with or without power, they're all looking forward to kind of separating themselves from what's happened over the past few days, looking for some entertainment, something to get away from, you know, all the problems and issues and really some terrible circumstances that came from Hurricane Sandy. So, Lance, let's get right to it. And as you said, we wish all the people out there the best. And if you have tickets to the game, you know, try to come out. Giants.com will have all the advisories for you in terms of parking, travel, things like that. But, of course, your safety of yourself and your family is the first priority, and we wish the best to you guys. And Lance and I are doing well. I joked to Lance earlier in the show. He's on, like, a really high floor in our apartment building. So he's fine. I'm fine. You heard Paul and Anita last couple of days. Everyone here is good. So we hope you're good as well and hope you're enjoying the show. And you can give us a call at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. All right, Lance, this is one of those AFC games that it's a classic matchup between old-time NFL franchises, and the Steelers are another team, much like Dallas, with a very good defense, especially against the pass, and it's going to be a tough game for Eli Manning to kind of get well after not really playing well the last 2.5 games.
Yeah, this is an offense that also wants to get back on track with respect to the running game because my Bradshaw and company did take somewhat of a step back in that Dallas game, and Eli Manning didn't, you know, have many opportunities to really get in rhythm and in sync with his receivers because you look, there was one straight possessions, and they were pretty much forced to punt the ball or there was an interception. So I think that it's important that, you know, they get positive yardage on each and every drive and get into manageable third down situations compared to what pretty much they faced against Dallas. It's not necessarily that, you know, this is an offense that they need to put together 300-yard games against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but if they continue to get Eli Manning in the position of a third and four and a third and two, I think they should have the ability to get up and down the field. And the other big issue that they've had on offense the last couple of games, and I know a lot of the players spoke about that this week, has just been red zone efficiency, not having to settle for field goals. Lawrence Tynes has been superb. I mean, you couldn't have asked to have a better kicker on this team in terms of his execution from field goals, from all types of yardage. But at the end of the day, the way they're going to be able to put teams away, and they probably would have been in a position to put away the Cowboys, is if they punch it in the end zone. And as you mentioned, the Steelers' defense is no joke. There are a lot of veterans. This is not a young defense, so they have been through the wear and tear of football over the last couple of years, but they can make plays. This is a very physical defense, so I think it's important that the Giants don't necessarily take risks, don't necessarily take chances, just keep moving the ball, and I think they should have success on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. The Steelers have 7 players that start on defense that are 30 years or older, and they really use that experience to their advantage, using those fire zone blitzes. They move guys around to try to confuse teams because they know their defensive players are so smart that they can sit there and do these type of things and not make mistakes in their own position. They've only allowed 15 passing plays of 20 yards or more. That's best in the NFL. They're very disciplined. They know their roles. Last week, Robert Griffin III rushed for only 9 yards against them. They're a sound defense. Now, on the other hand, the Lions, they don't get a ton of turnovers, just 7 takeaways this year, 4 fumble recoveries, 3 interceptions. They're not going to take the ball from you, but they're also not going to let you bring the ball down the field. 2nd in the NFL in yards allowed per game, number 1 against the pass.
Yeah, this is not an opportunistic defense. I know when they played the Redskins, the Giants, we were talking about, yes, Washington gives up so much yardage in the passing game, but you know what? Before you know it, they can all of a sudden turn the tables on you and get a key interception and get favorable field position. The secondary only has 1 interception. That's Ryan Clark, and he's coming off a concussion, though he has been able to get some practices in the last few days, so
right.
We're assuming he will be out there. Outside of that, they don't necessarily have big game-changing playmakers that are going to collect interceptions. They are going to give you some hard hits, but this is not a team that's piled up the turnovers. So as long as I mentioned, that Eli Manning and company can protect the football, they can protect the ball on the ground, they should be able to get chunks of yardage. That's why this, to me, is a game where ball protection is key and just continuing to wear down the Steelers' defense. Even if you're not getting the home run and you're not getting 10 yards each and every play, 2 to 3 yards will be good enough because that means that you're getting into manageable third downs, and that could very well be the difference for the Giants.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, also on Twitter at #GiantsChat. We're monitoring that. I know a lot of you folks out there might not have power, but do your best to call and send those tweets. We'll certainly get to them right here on Giants.com. All right, Lance, let's talk on the other side of the ball. We talk a lot about the Steelers' defense. How about their offense? A much different offense than they have been in the past. They don't throw the ball down the field as much despite having those big play wide receivers. But they do dink and dunk a lot. Ben Roethlisberger statistically is having his best season so far of his career. And Heath Miller has been an ultra-reliable tight end.
Heath Miller, you said it. I mean, you hit it right on the nose. That has been the X factor this season. And it's funny because Ben Roethlisberger at the beginning of the season said he wants to make Heath Miller a Pro Bowler. Well, I think mission accomplished at least halfway through the season. He has been great in terms of blocking on the line because their offensive line has been beat up since the beginning of the season, but for the most part, he's been more deadly in the passing game. I mean, he's a big red zone target. I think it's going to be a big test for the linebacker core for the Giants, and to be honest with you, if this is a game that they get Kenny Phillips back and they're allowed to experiment with 3 safeties, that may be a big benefit to helping slow down Heath Miller. You look at the Pittsburgh receiving core, it's got a lot of speed, but that's why Miller has had so much success. Everyone is so concerned with slowing down the Mike Wallaces of the world, the Emmanuel Sanders of the world, and the Antonio Browns, that at times they lose sight of Heath Miller, and the middle of the field becomes his playground. We've seen it consistently week in and week out. So as bad as the receivers can do damage, the key for the Giants is to keep Heath Miller contained. He's the security blanket for Ben Roethlisberger, and he's also helped, I think, get the running game going for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Prior to Jonathan Dwyer's arrival, and I know he had been on the team all season, he's had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. Rashard Mendenhall had been hurt. Isaac Redman also had been battling injuries. They were not that productive on the ground. All of a sudden now, they're having more balance on offense, and that's why I think they've been able to put together a couple of wins. Every other game has been so close because they've been in pass mode, where they've had to either put together a comeback or try to get a defensive play. This is a very balanced Pittsburgh Steelers offense. I would say they're a different offense here in Week 9 than they were in Week 1 and Week 2.
All right, folks, I realize we had a couple of issues with the phones there. I think we got them fixed. Melroy, the technical wizard's on it, so I believe we've got that squared away. You can give us a call at 201-939-4513. See, Lance, we were trying to hang up on you, and we ended up knocking all the other lines off. So, but seriously, folks, you can give us a call now at 201-939-4513. We'll get you right back up, or you can send us your questions in on Twitter at #GiantsChat. A couple things coming in here, Lance, on Twitter. 7 with the T thinks you sound a lot different on the phone. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You can judge that for yourself. We got questions coming in from, let's see, Not really any questions. Just a lot of, like, short little comments. Here we go. Giant RB 27. He needs to change that handle with Brandon Jacobs no longer with the team. He needs to get on top of that. He thinks he agrees with your point about positive yardage, and he thinks it can also lead to shortening the game, which can benefit the Giants. Because, Lance, the Steelers actually are second in the NFL in terms of time of possession. That goes back to that short passing game. They want to hold the ball and move it methodically up and down the field.
And the running game has helped them reach that cause, too, because, as I mentioned, Jonathan Dwyer has been a pleasant surprise for them, especially given the injuries that they've suffered on the offensive line. They have not had any consistent running game, and they lost their top runner in Rashard Mendenhall. So, you know, if the Giants let them run the football, they'll milk a lot of clock, and they'll win the battle of time of possession, and that will help wear down the Giants' defense. So it's real key to take away the Jonathan Dwyer-Isaac Redmond duo and force Ben Roethlisberger to throw the football. Yes, he's elusive. He can get out of pressure packages, but you know what? I think the Giants will be in a better position if they force Ben Roethlisberger to take chances down the field than if they allow Pittsburgh to slowly progress down the field with their running game. It's really key to win the battle at the line of scrimmage and take away that running game factor.
Another question coming in from our man Duncan Holden over there in the United Kingdom. Which players, Steelers players, are the most dangerous? Any dark horses? Well, I can tell you who's dangerous. I don't think they're dark horses, though, and that's Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace. These guys are big, strong, fast, physical specimen type of wide receivers. They know how to go up and get the ball down the field. If you're the Giants in terms of big plays, those are the guys, Lance, you got to look out for.
Absolutely. The other guy I'm going to throw out, John, and this is not necessarily a big playmaker on offense, but I think he could contribute on special teams, is Chris Rainey, the kid out of Florida. You know, Tom Coughlin also talked about him during the week. He's a playmaker if they can get him out to the open field. They also use him a little bit in the running game. So that's a player that certainly the Giants and the fans want to keep close tabs on, depending on what packages they utilize him out of.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. We have some calls coming in, Lance. Let's go to them. Down to our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Two things. One, I wanted to compliment you guys on the program. You know, for those of us that are transplanted New Yorkers, and they don't show the game, it's the only way to keep my sanity is to, you know, tune in and listen to the webcast.
Mike, very happy to help. And honestly, we understand that, honestly, our biggest audience is probably out of the tri-state area. The people that can't necessarily watch the game and, you know, turn on WFAN and get their Giants talk there. So we understand that's where our biggest audience is. And we appreciate you guys listening. We're very happy to give you as much Giant coverage as we can over the course of the season.
Well, thank you. As far as the upcoming game, one of the things that I'd like to see us do more is to run the ball. And I would really like to see more of Brown and Wilson running. I know Ahmad is awesome, but I think if they balanced several of the running backs, I think you know, Eli feeds off of that. When we have some momentum going in the running game, all the players play a lot more confidently, and they can you know, make those first yards and first downs and move the ball positively.
Yeah, Mike, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I also think, and thank you very much for the call. I also believe that you have to give Bradshaw enough carries for him to get into a rhythm. You don't want to give him 8 or 9 carries. He can't get any sort of rhythm, and then he's not that effective in the running game. You know, can David Wilson be effective only getting 3 or 4 carries a game? But I would like to see the other guys get a little bit more involved in the offense, only because I think you need that change of pace. I don't think Ahmad Bradshaw is that Adrian Peterson type of running back where he can rush it 27 times a game, stay healthy, and be very effective. He's just not that type of guy, in my opinion. I mean, you've seen it already. He can't practice, you know, more than one day a week because of that foot injury. So I would like to see other guys used more, but there's also, Lance, a balance, in my opinion, making sure the guys, when they do play, are in some sort of rhythm, so you don't want to take them in and out too much.
Yeah, the coaching staff has alluded to the fact that they want to ride the hot hand. I think that that's been a big emphasis for Kevin Gilbride and even Tom Coughlin. But I'll throw this out to you, John, and I'm curious your thoughts, because
sure.
I brought this up after the Cowboys game, and a lot of people and a lot of fans echoed the same sentiment of Mike, that they want to see them run the football and they want the Giants to do more of a better job with respect to the balance and carries. The disparity was clearly in favor of Ahmad Bradshaw against the Cowboys more so than for Andre Brown. Is pass protection and I know we throw out that theme a lot here on Big Blue Kickoff, still, you know, a big issue in terms of Bradshaw gives them more of a security in that department than the Andre Browns and the David Wilsons of the world, and as a result, it was a close game. That's why they leaned more heavily on Ahmad Bradshaw down the stretch.
Hey, look, Ahmad Bradshaw is very good at picking up the blitz. He loves the contact. He takes on linemen and linebackers straight on. He likes to go low on them, likes to go high on them, and he just does a good job. And you're right, I think that's part of the thing, keeping Andre Brown and David Wilson off the field. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our buddy Kareem in New York City. What's up, Kareem?
Good. How you doing, John? Love the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. What's up?
I want to ask you, what do you think of the play of Justin Tuck this year? In my opinion, he's just not the same player as he used to be, and it's affecting the whole pass rush. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Justin's been a little quiet, but I also believe that they're asking him to do a lot of things that maybe they haven't asked him to do in the past with Canty's injury. I think he's played inside a whole lot more. So I think maybe they've taken him out of that pass rush role just a little bit. You've seen a lot of JPP and OCN at the same time at those two end positions. And you've seen JPP inside, though, too, with Tuck at the end. So I think it's a combination of things. One, he's not at that left end position as much with the opportunity to rush the passer. But that being said, I'm not making excuses here. He only has one sack through eight games. That is unacceptable. And it's not like he's getting to the quarterback and not bringing him down. You haven't seen him really in the quarterback's face much this year either. Maybe that neck injury, that might be a thing that just never goes away, you know, for Justin Tuck. But there hasn't been many word of injuries. And you're right, he just hasn't been, Kareem, I don't disagree with you, that disruptive force that he has been in the past.
Thanks for taking my call, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Kareem. Happy to take it. And, you know, it's frustrating for Giant fans, Lance. A guy like Justin Tuck, who's been so good in the past, and figuring out exactly what's wrong with him, what you can do to try to get him a little more production.
But you know what, John? Despite the lack of the pass rush, I think the secondary has been very opportunistic and has made up for sometimes the lack of results from the pass rush.
Sure.
In terms of quarterback hits and sacks. A player that we haven't talked much about so far, Stevie Brown, you know, named NFC Defensive Player of the Week, 5 interceptions, leads the team 7 takeaways. He's really taken advantage of his opportunities, and normally you would think, with the way the game of football is played, the secondary benefits from all of the great pressure that the front four brings, but that hasn't necessarily been consistent for the Giants. However, the secondary is still making plays, and this could be a game where perhaps Perry Fuel can experiment and toy with 3 different safeties. So I think the key for the Giants is, even if they're not getting the type of pressure that they would like from a week-to-week basis, at least the secondary is picking up the slack somewhat. There were times last season where if the Giants wouldn't get the pass rush, I mean, there were games where you would be concerned that teams are just going to have a field day passing the football. Yes, they gave up a lot of yardage last week to the Cowboys, but you have to understand, Dallas was in comeback mode. So I think that played a role, and I think they still need to shore some things up in the secondary. But if you're getting the turnovers consistently, that's a good way to counter some of the numbers that haven't been too impressive with regard to the pass rush. And the other thing to throw out with respect to JPP, you know, the quarterback hits weren't necessarily piling last week against the Cowboys. They were getting enough pressure to fluster Tony Romo, but we talked about how important it was for the defensive players to keep their hands up, try to deflect passes at the line of scrimmage or intercept passes. And look at what Jason Pierre-Paul did. Got his hands up, caught Tony Romo off guard when he was trying to throw it into the left side of the flat, and then returned it all the way for a touchdown. Those are the type of game-changing type of plays that you'd like to see continue, especially if the pass rush can't pick up.
And Kenny Phillips shouldn't make it back this week, Lance, going back to your Stevie Brown point. And look, I understand Kenny Phillips is a good player, but you can go back to Kenny Phillips' last 3 seasons, including his 4 games this year, and he has 5 interceptions since 2010. Stevie Brown has 5 interceptions playing 8 games this year and, you know, barely playing in a few of them because Kenny Phillips was healthy. So I would have a hard time, that's not even counting his fumble recovers, I would have a hard time taking Stevie Brown out of this position here on the defense, considering how good he's been. And, you know, you can say go to the 3 safety formation, that's fine, but if you're going 3 safeties, then you're taking Jaron Hosley off the field in that slot position, theoretically, in your nickel package, or you're taking one of your linebackers, Bowley or Jaquan Williams, off the field, and those guys have played pretty well. So if they want to use Stevie Brown in that 3 safety package, what do they lose by sitting Hosley in the slot or sitting Bowley or Rivers?
Yeah, and especially since the Pittsburgh Steelers have so much speed in the receiving core and they like to go three wide a lot.
Yep.
But the key will be for Perryfield to determine who is the best matchup on Heath Miller. That's the big X factor. Do you want a linebacker against Heath Miller, or would you prefer Kenny Phillips with a little bit more speed to match up with Heath Miller? That's what they're going to have to determine, and I think whoever has more success on Sunday will determine whether he goes with the three safeties or he just keeps it with the three linebackers and allows Hosley to remain on the field.
I know we didn't have much of a chance to talk about that Cowboy game last week, but I thought one of the reasons Jason Witten had such a great game is because of Jaquan Williams' injury. He's the Giants' best cover linebacker. He's just great at blanketing these guys. And without him on the field and relying on Bullion Rivers, they're quite frankly just not as good in coverage as Jaquan Williams.
And that's why it's so important to stop Heath Miller, John, because you talked about Jason Witten, and if you look back at that Cowboys game, Dallas never faced a very tough third and long. Everything was 8 to 10 yards on first down because Romo would go over the middle or over the sides to Jason Witten, and he would pick up big chunks of yardage. If the Steelers mimic that game plan, that is going to enable them to move the football easily up and down the field, and that's the last thing I think the Giants can afford let happen. So they are going to have to experiment through game film this week to determine how they can take away that Heath Miller factor, because if he continues to get 8 to 10 yards, Roethlisberger will continue to look to him throughout the course of the game, and then Pittsburgh's going to be facing third and twos and third and fours, and that's very hard for your defense to continually stop all those short yardage situations. That's got a lot of pressure they're going to put on the front four.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We can go back to our phones. Mike is in Richmond, Virginia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. You guys picked some of my thunder with the with the over the middle stuff. That was going to be my question.
What do you got?
I have watched the Giants now the whole season, and we are getting exposed over the middle. And I guess you guys kind of have discussed a little bit in terms of my question I was going to bring up, but I guess piggybacking on your guys' conversation, I am more for maybe taking Rivers out and putting in a safety to cover because, I mean, the Giants haven't been very good on third down. Third and six, third and seven, people are just throwing over the middle when we don't get our pass rush in. And the Pittsburgh is like one of the best in the league. So that's what really scares me in this game is, you know, can we stop them on third down? And then I had another question for you guys that might be getting a little off topic. But
no problem.
How do you feel like the Giants are going to play on Sunday in terms of the weather with the hurricane? You know, do you think they're going to come out, you know, ready to play, emotional, where usually in this kind of game we come out flat at home for the first half and then kind of pick it up the second half?
Yeah, you know what? It'll be interesting to see how the Giants react emotionally. Obviously, a lot of these players and a lot of the fans and millions of people in the tri-state area, you know, quite frankly, have a lot more important things to worry about than football this weekend. They're worrying about getting clean water. They're worrying about getting their power. They're worrying about finding gasoline so they could drive their car. So clearly there are a lot
of
things that are out there that are a lot more important than football this weekend. And it'll be curious to see how the Giants react. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to come out, you know, super-duper fired up because of the hurricane. That, to me, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Now there's, you know, the rumors going around that the Steelers have to fly in on Sunday morning because they can't find a hotel. So we'll see if that actually happens. That looks like it's going to be the case. So I think it'll be an interesting scenario. And what's the crowd going to be like? I think that's another question.
Right,
how many
exactly.
people are actually going to be able to get out to this game through no fault of the Giants or the NFL? Again, it just goes back to who's able to get gas, who's able to, you know, leave their family at home if they have no power. Are you willing to do that? So I frankly worry about a stadium that's a half to three-quarters filled, and quite frankly, a lot of those fans might be Steeler fans. We know how well Steeler fans travel, and we know they probably already had a lot of tickets to this game to begin with. And if you're a fan in the New York area and you're trying to decide whether or not you're going to go to this game, are you more willing to go the extra mile if you are a Giant fan and you can go to any other game during the regular season, or are you more willing to go that extra mile and you're a Steeler fan, and you never, ever, ever get to see your team play live because you play in New York? So I think you might see a crowd that's not as crazy and might have a few more Steeler fans in it than you like. That's just my guess. I don't know that, but that's simply my guess as we move forward.
Well, let me ask you real quick before you end the call. Do you remember after September 11th, I guess I was more looking at it as an opportunity, like after September 11th had happened and the Yankees were in the World Series, it was almost like it appeared to me that, you know, sports was kind of a way to take a break from what was going on and to kind of channel that negative energy into something. Because I remember that was huge, even though the Yankees had lost that World Series. I'm kind of thinking something similar, but obviously the power, there was obviously not a major power issue as you're relating to in gasoline. But I was more going along the lines of kind of channeling that negative energy into something as a distraction for a few hours.
Oh, no, you know what? I think that's a great point. And if we were talking about a game maybe like a week from now, I think 9/11 and the hurricane are just two very different circumstances. And thank you very much for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. They're just two very different circumstances, only because of the hurricane, to a much larger extent than 9/11, has messed around with the infrastructure in this area in terms of transportation and the roads, in terms of gasoline availability. And we're much closer to that disturbance than we were when the Yankees went to the World Series, or even when Mike Piazza had that very dramatic home run against the Atlanta Braves when they played their first baseball game after 9/11. Lance, I understand where Mike's going with that, and it is a way for fans to get away from the disaster and kind of come together in a way people in New York and New Jersey really know how to do in the face of adversity, and we've seen it a million times before. But to me, with all the infrastructure issues and the transportation issues, I think this is a little bit of a different situation.
The transportation issue is definitely probably the biggest stumbling block at this point, especially with the gas shortage, whether or not, as you mentioned, you know, families want to be broken up, especially if they have no power and no electricity. I think that, you know, the passionate fan base will show up and they will go to any length to get to the game, but, you know, safety obviously needs to outweigh coming to a football game on Sunday. It definitely can be a distraction. That's how sports is usually utilized when any horrible events occur. But it's interesting, John, because you mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, how well that fan base travels. The Giants are actually going up against two teams this season that have the best fan bases and travel. The Packers are going to come to town later this season, and Green Bay, like Pittsburgh, is very good in having their fan base travel to and from road games.
And
so
Dallas,
I think
that
would
matter.
Be interesting to see whether or not the Giants can, you know, counter that Pittsburgh Steelers and Green Bay Packers fan base. And I think they're going to make every effort they can. But
you're
right, compared to 9/11, you know, with 9/11, which was clearly horrendous, that goes without saying, the transportation issues weren't as apparent as they were today. And a lot of people didn't have to deal with their own personal homes being, you know, hurt or taken out of the foundation. So that's going to be the biggest stumbling block for people to overcome that and come to the game. But, you know, listen, unfortunately, because of the NFL scheduling, I don't really know there was much that they could do to maybe move the game back because, you know, if you postpone the game, it really impacts the rest of the schedule. There's not a lot of wiggle room considering you're down to the wire with the buys. A lot of teams have had their buys already, so you can't really tweak with the schedule so much, and that's why I think they just need to leave the game as is and just hope that as many people can get out there. I don't know what the train situation is going to be because I know a lot of people rely on that, but
right now,
if that's not up, that's going to be another big stumbling block.
Yeah, and we're actually hoping to have Pat Hanlon on today to talk about all this stuff, but he's actually in a meeting trying to sort all this sort of stuff out, so he's probably not going to make it for today's show. If he shows up, we'll put him on, obviously, but he's in a bunch of meetings trying to square away all the different things with the hurricane. And right now, it doesn't look like that train is going to be up and running. Secaucus and NJ Transit is still pretty much all shut down for the most part. So the Giants are going to set up free auxiliary lots elsewhere in the state where you can park for free, and they'll provide free shuttle bus service from those lots to the stadium. We'll have details on Giants.com, and of course, we'll reach out to season ticket holders in other ways later on today with those details for the game on Sunday. If you have your parking pass over, you can come park as normal. The Giants encourage that you come and you carpool, not only for gasoline purposes, you know, the road closures. Without mass transit, there's going to be a parking space availability issue because the 15,000 people that usually come, 10,000-15,000 on the train, won't have that access. They'll have to come with their cars. That's why they're setting up the free auxiliary lots. Again, more details coming later today on where those are going to be with the shuttle bus service. And of course, remember, just carpool if you can when you come to the game. Giant fans are the best. If anybody can make it out to these games and be loud, it's Giant fans. We have faith that you're going to do it. But obviously, your safety and the safety of your families and your homes has to come first. And we, of course, that is Giants. Totally understand that. That has to be a first priority, and we urge that to you. That it should be your first priority. 201-939-4513. Let's go down to Len in Maryland. Good morning, Len.
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment on what you've been talking about. I really didn't call to talk talk about the hurricane. But, you know, the NFL made a mistake in 1963 after the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And played their games 2 days later. They did the right thing around 9/11 in canceling. They really should have figured something else out. Maybe move the game to Pittsburgh earlier in the week. You know, played the game somewhere else, just like we did when we had that snowstorm in Minnesota.
You know what, Len? Len, look, I understand what you're saying, but the stadium is okay to host the game. The teams, the Steelers can get in safely. The Giants are here in New Jersey already practicing safely. It's going to be a safe environment. And don't you think, considering we're, what, 5-6 days off from when the storm happened, that fans, at least the ones that have the ability to watch or listen with their radio or have TV in power, want this distraction to take their minds off of the storm?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to talk to some of those people in Staten Island about that.
That's fair.
Some of the people in Coney Island, where, you know, where you are, what they feel about that. I'm not so sure. You know, in the end, it's a game, and I'm as rabid a Giants fan. Look, I went that Sunday in 1963.
Wow.
2 days later. I haven't told many people because, I frankly, when I think about it, I keep thinking to myself, you know, I shouldn't have gone that day. You know, Dad put me in the car. We went down. I was in the parking lot outside Yankee Stadium. Had the radio on, of course, and heard that Lee Harvey Oswald had been shot. I mean, you know, another mind-boggling event.
Wow.
It was, you know, it was really, really was a tough day. But, all right, look, on to some strategy. You got some time for that?
Sure, go
sorry,
ahead.
Sorry I started off with the other.
Nah,
I really
it's all
didn't
good.
Mean to talk about that.
Go ahead, Len, you got it.
I think the emotion is going to be at a low level on Sunday, even amongst the players. But, okay, look, I guess we got to play it. And I'm going to try to get there. I hope my hotel, I'm going to call my hotel after we get off the line here. And, you know, hopefully I got a place to stay. And, I'm going to try to make the game. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, any event, hey, I think we win this game. Look, we're averaging 7 scores a game. I think it's 29 points a game. The other team is averaging about 3 or 4 scores a game. You know, that's 3 scores difference. You're going to win a lot of games when there are 3 scores difference between
sure.
you and the opposition. And I think that's what's going to happen this week. Field position will be important. If we want the running game to improve, we got to control that nose tackle. This guy's pretty good, too. He's not as good as Ratliff. Of course, Ratliff's a lot younger. Hampton is a, you know, was a terrific nose tackle. He's on the downside of his career. But if we can't get him blocked, those linebackers are going to have a field day. They're going to have a field day stopping the run. They're going to have a field day with their pass rush. It's going to be really tough on Eli, particularly the way LeBeau disguises those blitzes and so forth. I think we're going to move the ball. And, you know, I'm not going to worry too much if, you know, the Steelers get the ball and drive 75 yards and get a field goal out of it. That's the way it starts off. But here comes the Giant offense. Fourth quarter last Sunday, we got the ball 3 times, scored twice. Dallas got the ball 3 times, didn't score. Nice statistic. You know, when we had to, we made the stops. It may have been by a finger. But we made the stop. We got off the field, and we indeed won the game. Have you guys heard anything about the possibility that David Deal might start at right tackle over Locklear?
Yeah, that.
I was wondering what you got.
Yeah, Len, that rumor was kind of going around the locker room yesterday a bit. Apparently, if Sean Locklear said to a member of the media, and this was in the papers this morning, that he was told that David Deal was going to take back over at right tackle, the guy that can't lose his spot because of injury. So we'll see if that actually goes down. I'm sure the media will talk to head coach Tom Coughlin about that today, and we'll have that cleared up for you.
Okay, great. Okay, guys, you guys stay well. Hope everything works out for you. And, you know, let's go Giants.
All right, Len, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And, Lance, Len covered a lot of ground there, and that was one thing coming out of the locker room yesterday. I'm sure you saw it on Twitter. That it looks like David Deal, if these reports are correct, might end up starting on the right side this week against Pittsburgh.
And, John, it's funny because I don't think a lot of Giants fans like that argument about that players shouldn't lose their jobs to injuries, or shouldn't get it back, rather, even though they're injured, because the pass protection scheme has been great with Locklear playing that tackle spot. And I know we were talking about the same debate when Andre Brown had that big game. Everybody was calling for Andre Brown to take over the starting role, and Ahmad Bradshaw should have his carries cut back. He should be more of a change of pace running back. David Deal has provided a spark in that jumbo package as the additional tackle to provide sort of as an extra tight end. As long as it doesn't disrupt the continuity of the offensive line, I don't think it's going to hurt the Giants. You just don't want them to get away from the level of play that they've had over the last couple of weeks. Yes, the running game has been up and down, even though they had those two great games with Ahmad Bradshaw running the football. But the one thing that has stayed consistent has been pass protection. Eli Manning has not been on the ground much, and he's been able to really keep himself healthy, and he's been remaining upright. I think they want to continue that, and you just hope that if they do toy or tweak with that, they won't lose that level of production, even if Deal gets inserted back into the starting lineup. And then Locklear essentially is going to take Deal's spot, which is in that jumbo package, that additional tight end.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I believe Eli's only been sacked 6 times this year, and I know for a fact, whatever the number actually is, that is the fewest of any other team in the NFL in terms of quarterback sacks allowed. And a lot of that's on the offensive line, Lance, like you just mentioned. A lot of that's on the running backs, tight ends, and quite frankly, I put most of the onus and the credit, I give it to Eli Manning for understanding when pressure's coming. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He doesn't hold it a long time. He reads the defense extremely well, and I think he does a good job protecting himself in that regard.
And you heard Len bring up the key to the game being the nose tackle for the Giants to help protect Casey Hampton. I agree, because if you look at how the sacks are distributed for the Steelers this season, the bulk of them are from the linebackers. It's not from their three-man line. Between Woodley, Foote, Timmons, and Harrison, they pretty much have all the sacks. So if Hampton gets plenty of pressure, and the Giants' offensive line is so concerned with the nose tackle spot, if they have a double team on him, all of a sudden that opens things up for the linebackers to come off the edges. So it really is going to be important that Hampton doesn't get a lot of penetration, because then I think the Giants will do a better job of notating where the linebackers are. If they don't, pass protection could be an issue, because as I mentioned, I think, I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but I know those four linebackers have combined for at least 10 of the 12 sacks that the Steelers have on the season.
Yeah, I believe the defensive line for the Steelers only have one sack this year. You know, guys like Kiesel, Hood, and Hampton, they're three starting defensive linemen. They're run-stopping guys. They're not necessarily pass rushers. So the Giants will have to protect against them. And the Steelers, I believe, only have 12 sacks this year, which is in the bottom third of the league. They only had 35 sacks in 2011. That was one of their lowest totals in some like 21 years or something like that. So they're not really a pass rushing sack team anymore, but like we just mentioned, they are very, very sound. 201-939-4513. John in Allentown, Pennsylvania. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
All right. Finally got my power back on.
Ah, congratulations. Great news.
Tuned into y'all this morning. And that worked. but I want to talk about that previous game.
Sure.
And then move on to this game coming up. You know, a lot of people say that Giants got lucky in that game. And I agree, you know, partially. Part of that was luck. But a lot of that was a good ball movement on the offensive part. You know, it wasn't spectacular. It wasn't, you know, the best of play, but we definitely got some things done. And our defense definitely stepped up. You had Stevie Brown has been a diamond in the rough. I mean, that was a great find to find him. And he's actually taken over, filled in well for Phillips. And I don't think it was luck. It was basically more of execution in that first quarter. And then we kind of played loose coverage, which gave them all the underneath routes and basically got them back in the game. But other than that, we did a hell of a job. And secondly, I like to talk about this Pittsburgh game. You know, definitely we're going to have to run the ball some way, somehow. I think the best way to run the ball is off that left side. And making sure that we can, you know, shore up that nose guard or nose tackle, we'll definitely be able to move the ball. And I don't know how good they are on their pass defense, but I'm hoping Cruz can have a big game and get back into his normal form.
All right, John, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And I'll say a couple things about what John touched on here. Number one being, last week, the Giants were fortunate in a lot of ways last week against Dallas, and there are really two plays in which I would consider them to be more lucky than good. The Dez Bryant play at the end of the game being one of them. Obviously, Dez Bryant just puts his elbow down instead of his hand down, it's a touchdown. You go through a million different scenarios. The other play, which were very fortunate, was the Felix Jones fumble, where the Giants really had nothing to do with forcing the fumble. Felix Jones has carried the ball low and ran into the back of his offensive lineman. So another very fortunate play for the Giants that short-circuited a Cowboys drive. But I think John's bigger point about the game this week is 100% correct in that you got to run the ball against the Steelers. They're so good against the pass. They're so sound. If you get trapped into a pattern of just doing one thing, they're going to eat you up and they're going to stop you. The Giants have to maintain balance, Lance.
John, the most telling stat from last week's game, and I know you just laid out some key plays, they were 3 of 15, the Giants, on third down.
Yeah.
It's very hard to win games. I mean, it's amazing that they won that game even with that stat. But the reason they were 3 of 15, and you go back to the game log, there were not a lot of manageable third downs. And the reason there weren't is because, like you said, they weren't able to run the football. If they can run the football, Eli Manning's going to be facing third and fives and smaller as opposed to third and fives and bigger. And that's going to be the difference maker. You're not going to win more often than not if you're just 3 for 15 on third downs, whereas the Cowboys were at least 50% on third down last week. They were 7 of 14, and that gets back to the point that we talked about earlier in the show. Jason Witten was getting 7 to 8 yards on first down. So they were facing a lot more manageable third downs than the Giants were. You don't want to be in third and longs against a Steelers defense that will essentially dial up the blitz. They want to be going up against an offense that's facing third and sevens and third and eights, because then they can get creative. They can maybe take some additional chances. You don't want to give the Steelers that type of an opportunity.
No, I hear you, Lance. All right, it's about 10:20. Do you want to get to our picks here real quick?
Yeah, the only other thing I just wanted to throw out, John, not to interrupt,
sure,
about our pick segment,
no
getting
problem.
Back to the whole topic, how the Giants are going to respond due to the hurricane and how they're going to play, you know, keep these factors in mind. Number one, the Giants are better on the road than they are at home. So that's a big issue for the Giants. They have not been able to get off to fast starts. I don't know if the hurricane factor changes that at all. And the Steelers have not been a very good road team.
That's true.
They're just
1-3
this season.
Yep.
They finally got over the hump against the Bengals, but they've played a lot of close games on the road. They had lost to Oakland earlier this season, which was a really heartbreaking loss for them. They lost to Tennessee, which was a tough Thursday night game where they lost on a field goal as well. And as you touched on, John, they're flying in right now the day of the game. I can't remember. I don't know if you can remember an example of a team flying in the day of a game.
I
think that, to me, that's been unheard of. And you have to wonder, even though it's not a very long flight from Pittsburgh, what type of a role that will play. They're going to get off a flight, put on their pads, and they're going to play football. That will be an interesting storyline to see.
How about Len, by the way, in the parking lot 2 days after the JFK assassination at Yankee Stadium, hearing Lee Harvey Oswald was shot on the radio. That's pretty cool.
Well, we never question the level of intensity as a fan that Len brings. I mean, to even come from Maryland to every game shows plenty of passion. So we give him a lot of credit in that department.
Len is betraying his age a little bit with that, though, but we'll let that slide on the radio a little bit.
It's true. Well, we don't hold that against him.
No, of course not. All right, let's go to our picks. Lance continues to founder. Now at 20-21, just 2-4 last week. I was 500, only one half game behind Lance at 20-22. The Schmelk man making a little bit of a comeback. Are you feeling nervous, Lance?
I'm not too confident about my wiggle room anymore, but we'll see. I'm taking some chances this week, so maybe they'll work out for me finally.
Though you and I are on the same page on a lot of these games, which is going to make this somewhat boring, but let's go through them anyway. Start with the NFC East, the only game being played Sunday afternoon besides the Giants game, that's Redskins and Panthers. I think the Redskins didn't really play that poorly last week in their loss against the Steelers. They were just beaten. The Steelers' defense did a really good job. They shut down RG3. They had a lot of drop passes. His receivers didn't really give RG3 any help at all in that game. But I think they bounced back and they beat the Panthers in a battle of mobile quarterbacks.
And also what the Steelers did, John, in that game was they stopped Alfred Morris.
Yes.
Washington had a really hard time running the football, and that's why I think a lot of Giants fans have called up throughout the course of this show and said it's imperative that Ahmad Bradshaw and company get some semblance of a running game, because Pittsburgh has been able to succeed against teams that have not been able to run the football. But getting back to the Redskins, I think this is a good bounce-back opportunity for them. Carolina's defense has been decimated by injuries, but they've been tough. I mean, they were very tough on the Bears. They were very tough on the Cowboys, so this is not going to be a walk in the park, but I think Washington will have a little bit more ability to move the football. against the Carolina Panthers, and I think at the end of the day, this will at least give them an opportunity to get another W.
All right, let's go on to Saints and Eagles. This is the Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken. The Eagles obviously need a win here desperately as they are sitting at 3-4. Andy Reid on the hot seat. Michael Vick on the hot seat. Todd Bowles moves in as defensive coordinator. His defense gives up scores on, I think, the first five possessions they have against the Falcons. So a very big game for the Eagles. I think they respond a bit here, Lance, and I think they pull out the win.
I actually like the Saints in this game.
Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were laying out so many factors against the Eagles. I mean, for the Eagles, that I thought maybe you were trying to change your pick at the last
No,
minute.
I was
but
not.
This is a game.
Whoops.
Yeah. No. Continue.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lance.
I think this is going to be a very close game. Philly is a team that just can't get everything in sync for some reason from week to week. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the football, but they just have not been able to put together top to bottom, first quarter through fourth quarter, a consistent effort. And it's been, I think, mind-boggling just from an NFL perspective as to why they've had so many troubles. But I think New Orleans is a very tough team to beat on their home field. Some teams have had success this season, but they've been very close games. The Saints are looking to bounce back. Drew Brees probably had one of the worst performances of his career against Denver. The Broncos defense just had the right game plan. They took away the deep ball. They forced Drew Brees to just throw underneath, and the Saints, as a result, could not move the ball. Philadelphia, I don't know if they can mimic what Denver did last week. Matt Ryan had a lot of success throwing the football, and if you look at what Drew Brees' money game is, it's throwing the football. So I think that the Saints and the Eagles are going to come down to the wire, but I still like the Saints getting a win because, remember, if New Orleans wins on Monday night, they're still very much in the playoff picture despite their rough start. They can definitely be within striking distance of a wild card.
Yeah, I agree, and I think your points on the Eagles are well made. I think they'll come out and actually play a really good game on Monday night. I just think they're in a very difficult position having to win in New Orleans, like you mentioned, to have this must-win situation in such a tough game. And much like the Saints' pass defense is their weakness, the Eagles' pass defense is their weakness, in my opinion, as well. And I think Drew Brees and Michael Vick will have a big game. I think you're looking like a 41-38 type of shootout here.
Well, here's the other factor to weigh in this. There's a lot of quarterback controversy surrounding the Eagles, and I know they're going to stick with Michael Vick, but you wonder how much that has taken a toll on the team. You know, a lot of people in the media have been calling for them to go to Nick Foles, the third-round pick out of Arizona. Perhaps they turn to him down the road, but you know that's been a big distraction at practice because each and every day the players have been asked, do you have confidence in Michael Vick? That's one of those outlying factors that could very well impact their level of play come Monday night.
201-939-4513. Let's go on to the NFC East game, Lance. Cowboys and Falcons. The Cowboys obviously coming off that heartbreaking loss to the Giants at home last week. They take on the undefeated Falcons. So an interesting stat, something in like the last 5 or 6 years, the Cowboys have played 3 undefeated teams that had 7 wins or more, and they've won all 3 games. And I think that streak will kind of continue this week against the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Cowboys pass defense, you saw what it did against the Giants last week. I think they'll have some success against the Falcons this week. And frankly, I think the Cowboys' passing game is hitting its stride a little bit right now. Without Grimes in the secondary, I think Atlanta might have some trouble stopping Tony Romo and company.
Well, the big key for Dallas is they can't afford to turn the ball over. You know, you look at the Bears game, 5 turnovers, and then you look at the Giants game with 6. And yes, you know, there was some miscommunication between Tony Romo, and the receivers. If they protect the football, if they take care of business, I think that they could very well turn the corner. And Atlanta, you know, we talk about teams being lucky in this league, and that's a whole other debate. The Falcons could have easily lost 1 or 2 games. I mean, that Carolina game, you look back, where Matt Ryan had to throw the Hail Mary to Julio Jones just to get in field goal range for Matt Bryant to have the opportunity for the game winner, and they've played a number of other close games. Specifically against Washington, too, is another game that comes to mind where they got that defensive touchdown. I think the Falcons are due for a loss after going 7-0. The Cowboys match up well with them. Their defense has been consistent despite some injuries. So this is definitely a game, like you, that I see the Cowboys possibly squeaking out and knocking off Atlanta and perhaps getting back to .500.
Lance, always a big proponent of luck and good fortune being a big part of some team success in the National Football League. Let's move on to our upset specials, lads. You like the Bills over the Texans. That might be your gutsiest upset pick ever.
Well, see, if the Bills win, I am going to do a lot of patting on my back next week. I'm going to take a page out of your playbook because I thought that this segment would be filled with that, but you've shied away from that routine, and I give you credit for that. I'm taking a chance with this game. The Bills are coming off a bye. Their offense has not been the issue. The problem with the Buffalo Bills is their defense. Can they stop anybody? Mario Williams is also going to return, even though he had wrist surgery during the bye. He has not been a huge factor in the pass rush. But, you know, the Texans have some question marks. On defense, they have some question marks. And, you know, their passing game has not necessarily clicked. Arian Foster's been great, and I think they've relied heavily on the running game. The Bills' offense, I think, could keep up with the Texans. Who's going to make the bigger defensive play? I like the Bills. I think Buffalo could maybe surprise a lot of people this weekend and knock off the Texans. So I'm going to ride Buffalo. Fred Jackson's gotten rid of that knee brace from a fantasy perspective. I'm real excited about that. So perhaps they could lean on him. They've gotten a good balance between him and C.J. Spiller. You know, don't overlook the Bills. The Bills could definitely be in the conversation as long as they get their defense on the right page.
All right, let's jump over to my upset special. I like the Titans to rebound off that heartbreaking loss to the Colts last week. I think at home, they pull off an upset against the Chicago Bears, who I think are coming back down to earth a little bit here. They almost lost to Carolina last week. I think they lose, open the door for the Packers to make a run in the NFC North. I think the Bears have a letdown game this week and lose in Tennessee. Maybe Chris Johnson will come out from a fantasy perspective and have a big game running the football. I know a lot of people out there would certainly be a big fan of that. Wild card games, Lance.
Including yourself, by the way.
I don't know what you're talking about. Wild card games, Lance. I'm going to go with the Seahawks over the Vikings. I think Seattle at home is very tough. I think Christian Ponder there will be dazed and confused. I think they will focus on stopping Adrian Peterson. I like a nice 17-3 Seahawks win that game.
Seahawks, a very tough team to win at home, so a win against at home, I should say, and I like that pick. With me, I'm going the route of the Dolphins taking care of business against the Colts. Miami's defense shut down the Jets, and I'm not necessarily thinking that that's a huge accomplishment since most teams have done that, but you have to feel good about the Dolphins, and specifically their offense. The defense is taking a lot of pressure off of Ryan Tannehill, and I know Tannehill's a question mark because of the injuries. Matt Moore came in, at least kept the offense consistent. Daniel Thomas is now back from a concussion, so they don't have to give Reggie Bush 25 carries. That, I think, has helped the load. I like Miami being able to at least run the ball effectively and containing another young rookie quarterback. So perhaps Miami can squeak one out on the road and perhaps get me a little bit over 500 to give me some additional wiggle room. So I'm taking chances with the AFC East this week. I'm going Dolphins, Bills. I'm hoping they take care of business, especially against the AFC South since the Colts and Texans are from that division.
All right, Lance, and I want to touch briefly here on our fantasy. Now, Melroy with the Hurricane was a little bit late getting stuff out this week, which is fine. So we don't have the rosters for this week yet, but we can go back to last week. Anita gained some ground on me. Her and I are now tied for first place overall. We've had a healthy cushion of almost 40 points on Howard Cross in third. Dan Salamone is slowly making his way up, only 13 points behind Cross. Then you have a big gap in the middle there. Oh, I take that back. No, you have Bob Papa there coming up next with 551. And then you go all the way towards the bottom. You got Lance at 520 and then Melroy at 460. So I think it's a very interesting scenario here, a pretty close race at the top here.
And you're enjoying your placement, certainly. I don't know if I could say the same about me. It's been a marathon to just move up from one spot to the other. But I'm hoping I can make maybe a second-half turnaround. I like my team this week. I took some chances. I don't know if you know your picks off the top of your head.
Honestly, I have not made them
yet. I took a lot of chances with a dollar for some players.
Nice, yeah. I've honestly not made my selections yet. I will make them the moment the show is over, and I'll do that. But I think it was also interesting last week in the league we have with our college buddies, Lance, that I laid the hammer down on you by about 45 points in the other fantasy league. Your thoughts on that?
Well, wait a minute. It wasn't that big. If memory serves me correct, I think it was only about 22 points. So you may need to look back at the computer screen. I maybe the storm threw you off a little bit. I'll excuse you for that.
Well, Lance.
And you're very fortunate, by the way, that Drew Brees, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, had the worst game of his career. If Brees takes care of business, you may not be patting yourself on the back so much this morning.
It might only have been 22 points, but to me, being on the other side, it felt like a 50-point win. That's really how nonchalant and easy it seemed. You know what I mean?
Well, Well, the positive light that I can take away from this is that we're still tied in the standings.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, we're still in the playoff hunt, and who knows, maybe perhaps we'll meet again when there's a lot more on the line.
I like the
rematches. I like the build-up to that.
I will be happy to beat you once again in the playoffs. That would be a lot of fun. All right, do you have any final thoughts? This weekend, Giants and Steelers? What do you think, Lance?
I think it gets back to the running game for the Giants and getting into manageable third downs, that from an offensive perspective. And on the flip side, from defense, you know, really containing the Pittsburgh Steelers running game and Heath Miller. Those are the two facets of the Steelers offense that really scares me if you're the Giants defense. And who Perry Fuel is going to use, whether it be a safety or a linebacker, on Heath Miller. Jason Witten, and you talked about this earlier, John, I mean, he set a record for the Cowboys, 18 receptions, and it hurt me even more from a fantasy perspective because John had him on his fantasy team. So I was crying from many angles and many cylinders. It was killing me. It was one catch after another. If Heath Miller has that type of production, it's not going to be good news for the Giants. So the key to me is contain him at the line of scrimmage, rough him up, get physical, disrupt his routes, and prevent the Steelers from setting the tone on the ground. If they can accomplish those two things, then I'm not saying that it's going to be a walk in the park for the Giants, but you know what? You'd rather Ben Roethlisberger having to air it out to his speedy receivers than having to slowly move it over the field where you know they're going to move the chains one by one. It's going to be a long afternoon for the Giants if that happens.
Yeah, and I agree, Lance. I just don't see the Giants having a breakout monster type of offensive game against the Steelers' defense. They're veterans. They're very sound. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You're not going to make a lot of big plays against them. So the Giants have to take care of the football, punt if you have to punt, that's fine, win the field position battle, try to run it, keep that time of possession battle kind of in the middle, you know, prevent the Steelers from making big plays down the field, which this Giants secondary has not been able to do the last couple of weeks. They've been beaten over the top a little bit. So if you do those things, you play sound football, you win the turnover battle. Again, that's really why the Giants are on this winning streak. They've just dominated in terms of the turnover margin the last few weeks. They do that, they should be fine. Lance, appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Absolutely, John. We'll speak over the weekend, and hopefully we'll get back to normal schedule next week on Big Blue Kickoff here.
Yeah, we hope to have Lance here on Sunday to do the interactive game feed. He'll try to make his way in, but we'll have more updates on that at Giants.com as the game goes along. Lance, thanks a lot, man. Be safe.
You too. Take care.
And that's all the time we have on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It comes your way every weekday morning, 9:30 to 10:30. Again, check out Giants.com for all the latest in terms of the game on Sunday, in terms of scheduling. All the changes and adjustments in terms of the weather, in terms of the parking, things of that regard. Giants Twitter account at Giants, Giants Facebook page, Giants.com. The Giants will be doing everything they can to make it as convenient for fans as possible to get to the game. If you do want to attend, of course, your family and your home safety, of course, has to be your first priority. So just stay tuned to all those different outlets, and we'll have all that information out for you as early as possible as we move along right here towards the game on Sunday afternoon. Also, it's Military Appreciation Day at the stadium, so we'll have that. It's the food drive. You're going to the game. Bring some non-perishable canned goods. We're donating to the New Jersey Food Bank. With so many homes destroyed and powers out, you know, they really need this type of food more than ever. So if you have it to spare and you're in a good situation in terms of power and such, please bring it in. Bring a donation and to the New Jersey Food Bank and help those in need any time of year, but especially with the hurricane and all the terrible aftermath and effects of that. Donate now. Everyone out there certainly does need your help. Thank you for joining us this morning, everybody. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmelk. We'll catch you next time right here on Giants.com.